then I'd been away, but I'd recorded everything. They planned on killing me from the very beginning. And how they go away until I caught them, like, live in court.
Yeah, they're going to... Yeah, now they can't kill you because you do have all the shit.
Yeah.
Well, I've been putting together everything, too, like you said, in a timeline, and I'm taking my time, and I'm posting. Look at this. Ivana's my... Look at my text message. Look at, like, really the timeline, and I'm posting it, like, when I'm saying posting, I'm showing the evidence. Right? Look what happened here. Here's this. Now look what happened next. Here's this, showing everything that I'm saying with evidence, right? Supporting everything I'm saying. So I'm working on that. I'm in the beginning because I just started this morning.
Oh, perfect. So the ones that you sent me already, I didn't get 100% through, but I know they're going to fly through it because I already organized it in two different hubs, like I told you. And yours is a bullet. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you what's called it's called an audit, a bulletproof markdown, everything in order, okay? And it's just going to print up and why it's important, and it's going to show you this happened this day, from according to its date, okay, of inception. And then you're going to look it over and give you a really, really good, clean idea. Say, oh, yeah, this happened there, and this is the evidence for it. You know, it's pretty long, and you don't have to do everyone specifically, but you know the days that have the most damning evidence on it. Fuck, we just put it right in there. It's embedded in the page. As soon as you open the page, it shows you, for example, John Paul Howard's signature. The first one, illegal, and it goes straight to Shibley writing. He's a founder, this and that, and we put all those things together on one page, on one little section, one little line or paragraph, you want to call it, you know? Yeah. All those connections are shown, you know,
well,
in that one little paragraph.
Yeah. Well, how I was doing it, let me just give you a little snippet of how I'm doing this. So, like, here, I started off saying, timeline summary of events. Rafi unexpectedly, suddenly, and suspiciously dies on July 16. Then I say, like, his estranged wife, and I start getting it, like, starting the story. His estranged wife, Ivana, a.k.a. whatever, of 3 to 4 years, legally separated with a legal binding separation agreement contract in hand, the separation agreement's existence lied about and hidden from us, Rafi's family, for 1.5 years. So then, no, after that was my header, because that's what this is all about, right? They've been hiding the separation agreement, right? So I start the story. I said, 2 days after Rafi's death, Ivana with the company of Daryl Lozon show up at Crystal Rivard's home, demanding and successfully taken away all of Rafi's work files from her, right? And I write a little bit, not much later. Then I say the evidence is Crystal's testimony. Then I start, my family was then told Rafi's will was lost somewhere in storage, and to which took 3 weeks to locate and be presented to us, the Ceylons. And then I show text communication between Lucy and Ivana, and I attach the picture of...
Okay, perfect, Lucy. Absolutely perfect. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Fucking right.
Then I go to the next thing. The next thing. During the reading of the last known will for Rafi, my family was provided with an unsigned copy of it. And when we later asked for a signed copy of it, we were boldly denied it for 3 weeks from Barton's office, Shibley Wrighton.
Okay, and I'm going to record this because I'm going to jump in because your bullets are perfect, but you and I had a discussion regarding it was unbelievable that motherfucker showed up out of nowhere, right?
Who?
You were like, why is he even here? Like,
Daryl,
wherever this guy is.
Yeah, No, you know, there's one error that my brain has been having a big fart on. A blank. But I think I figured it out. Remember I said that we were looking at, there was a timeline, something that was completely blank. I couldn't figure, it wasn't adding up, and it was bugging the shit out of me for like days. I've been trying to figure this out, and I figured out what it was, what occurred. So remember I said that during pick Rafi's tomb site, whatever you want to call it, at the funeral, that I kept thinking that Rafi's body hadn't returned to Windsor, like, in weeks. No, it had. But to us, we were like, I guess we were mourning, and it was like we expected it a lot sooner. His body did return like within like a week from autopsy, right? But in the meantime, we were plotting. And then like in a week and a week and a half or whatever was his memorial, right?
You mean a half after his death?
Right. So we had the memorial for him at the funeral home, whatever, the showing, which you attended to. Just like a day or, I think it was like a...
I got stopped for a second because for some reason, this son of a bitch here, excuse my language, it's been recording and throwing in words that don't belong on purpose, and I don't like it. So I'm reading, because I'm reading at the same time, it's text, it's going from speech to text, and it's not getting it. And it's done on purpose, let me put it that way. So I'm going to record another recording device on my computer at the same time. So give me one second.
Yeah, I'm also recording.
Okay, start now.
I'm also recording. Yeah.
Okay, good.
So there's a blank, that timeline that occurred. I kept thinking that we went, and during that time when we went to go pick out Rafi's site for his funeral, right? His burial spot. I thought that was like down the line, because I was thinking Rafi's, for some reason, thought Rafi's body hadn't returned for a couple of weeks or so, right? So the day that, it was like a day or 2 days before the memorial when we did pick out the burial spot. I thought that was when Daryl came up to us and told us that we were to go to Bart's office, that they found the will. No, that was in my timeline there was incorrect. I dissected it. What happened was, that's when what's the correct thing, because I can show in the timelines what occurred by my text messages with Ivana and that, right? So during that time, I think is when Daryl had told us we were supposed to go to Bart's office, but then we were told that he couldn't find it. They couldn't find the will yet. So then it was 2 weeks later, like a week or 2 weeks later, when I believe it was Ivana who called us and told us, and I have it in a text message from Ivana telling me, I have the text message from her, that, oh, Bart, we have a meeting, she wanted to say, this Friday, is that okay? And I said, okay to her, it's in the text message. So that was January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August 3rd. So August 3rd.
2016.
Yeah. So the next month. Yeah. Like, so that was like, about 3 weeks. 3 weeks after Rafi's death.
Yeah.
That we were, the text messages from the, August 3rd, but the meeting is to take place 2 days later. So it was exactly like 3 weeks. 3 weeks after Rafi's died was the meeting for the will. Because supposedly they couldn't find it, right? It was lost somewhere in storage.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so that's at the beginning of your, what we started again today, so to clarify, new timeline, we got that cleared up now, and you started saying, tell exactly how you're doing this header and how you're explaining this whole timeline from your evidence point of view, step by step.
Yeah, I started a timeline, and I called it the timeline summary of events. And I started off by saying that Rafi unexpectedly, suddenly, and suspiciously dies on July 16, 2016. And I start that this whole thing was like his estranged wife, Ivana Ceylon, a.k.a. Ivana Hrvatin, of 3 to 4 years, meaning they've been separated, right, estranged, legally separated with a legal binding separation agreement in hand, contract in hand. The separation agreement's existence, which was lied about and hidden from us, Rafi's family, for 1.5 years. And then I get into the timeline of what occurred, right? This was all about the separation agreement being hidden from our family. So I start the story, the whole thing off by saying, and it's really important that, you know, how 2 days after Rafi's death, Ivana with the company of Daryl Lozon show up at Crystal Rebard's home, demanding and successfully taking away all of Rafi's work files from her. All the while, a will hadn't even been read yet. Thus, who gave Ivana the right to show up to Crystal's place of residence and take all of Rafi's files from her in the first place? And that's prior, before even a will was read. Like, does it make any sense? So she did whatever, and a will hadn't even been read for a man. Who gave her a right to do that?
Right.
And then I put, there is star, as evidence, is Crystal's testimony of them going to her house 2 days after Rafi's death, okay?
And we have that testimony, right?
Not yet, but she will give it.
Okay.
Then I put, my family was then told Rafi's will was lost somewhere in storage, and to which took 3 weeks to locate and be presented to us, the Ceylons. And so, oh shit, what happened here? To the Ceylon. Okay. So then I put as evidence, I posted. What the fuzz? Why does this happen? I just lost something. Just fucking happened. Okay, here we go. Sorry, my page went messed up. Yeah. So as evidence, I posted the text message communications between Ivana and me. And as she says, "Hi, Lucy, we have a meeting with Bart on Friday afternoon at 3 p.m., if that works for you." That's evidence showing that it took 3 weeks. You understand?
Right.
For the reading.
It's a text message timeline for us to use as evidence.
That's right. So it's proving that it took 3 weeks for them to present my family with a will. I never seen Bart before that. That's what that's pertaining to.
Right.
Okay. And so then I go on. During the reading of the last known will for Rafi, my family, I should have said in Bart's office. During the reading of the last known will for Rafi during... Anyways, I'll correct it later. During the reading of the last known will for Rafi, my family was provided with an unsigned copy of it. And when we later asked for a signed copy of it, we were boldly denied it for 3 weeks from Bart in his office and told by Bart that he and his office didn't have signed copy of the will. If we wanted a signed copy of it to get it from Ivana, she had signed copies and is exactly where we, the Ceylons, then got a signed copy of the will from Ivana. Hold on. Ivana. Shit. However, to this day, our family have never seen the ink signed will. As it appears, Bart and his office didn't want a forgery signed copy of the will to come from their own hands to us. From their own hands to us. So they had Ivana do the dirty work. Note that the will was submitted unsigned to the courts, FOI, right? Freedom of Man. And then I posted as evidence showing that 1.5 years, my text messages with Ivana, what was this about? Showing that I text Ivana, I said, "Ivana," this was on, July, August, September. On September 21st, 2016, which was what? How many months later? After Rafi dies? I say, I my text communication, I show the picture of my text messages with between Ivana and I. And I say, Ivana, can you please give my mother a copy of Rafi's signed will ASAP? Bart did not give us one. He refuses to give Rafi's signed will to us and told us to get it from you. It would be much appreciated. Thanks. 2 hours later, she replies, sure, no problem. I will get a copy to her tomorrow. But I don't write about this, but the fucked up thing is, when she showed up to my mother's house, and I told you this before, when she showed up the next day to my mother was excited to see Ashton, but no Ashton came out of the car. She says, oh, why didn't you bring Ashton? She says, oh, I had to do running around, and I was down in this end of the woods, like, you know. She says, and then I also had to go and get a copy of this signed will for you from Bart. We're like, my mother didn't, I don't know if my mother actually said anything to her or not, but it's like, go get a copy of it from Bart. But we were told this is why you're giving it to us, because they refused to us and they said that you had the copy, signed copies. See, the communication, she didn't know what Bart told us. She didn't know she was being, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, what the fuck?
Like, here, go back for a second. Remember when you said the reading of the will, it was in Bart's office, right?
Yep. Daryl was there.
Say it again?
Daryl was there. Daryl, yep.
Daryl showed up with a bunch of papers in his hand,
yes,
right?
pile of papers.
Okay. Yeah, now, and we had this discussion before. I'll find the recording and all that stuff. But you guys were there, and the reading of the will, and you were dumbfounded about what it stated. And then on his way out, was it Daryl or Bart that took the signed copy from him, his hands, and kept it and gave him an unsigned copy to Armin? Was it that event?
Yeah, well, he didn't give any, it was really weird. One other really strange thing was, he gave the copy of the will for my family. Ivana wasn't given a copy to read. If this is about the reading of the will, why shouldn't everybody be having a copy to be reading? So he gives a copy and lets me and my brother and my mother, me and Armin, browse through it, and only for about 5 to 10 minutes. Couldn't have been more than 10 minutes where we were, you know, and then he says he wanted to wrap things up. And then he asked Armin, he says, hey, can I get that from you? He says,
who's he?
Bart.
Okay.
Bart told Armin, hey, can I get that from you? He says, and then he took it and he switched it. He switched it, and then he wrote something on the top. I watched him do it. So when he gave it, that when you see that word copy, that actually occurred in that office when he switched the papers, documents, the copy of the will. And he said, here, take this copy. You guys can have this copy for your own records or whatever you want to call it, right, to take home. You guys can take this copy to take home.
Yeah.
And then when we got home, you know, we wrapped it up. We didn't, you know, didn't think much of it, right? And then later on, we noticed that, what the fuck? He gave us a copy that's not even signed. And then that's when we started questioning it. And they didn't like us questioning it. Armin went to his office. My mother went to his office. I spoke with Bart, and Bart got upset. I'm not obligated to give you guys a signed copy.
Okay, stop a second. Now, that was conversation you said when you called. They're all recorded, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then you also gave him emails. How come this is unsigned, right?
I believe so. I'd have to check and see.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
So AI knows to refer to all the emails and look for that section, right? So it places it all together for us. But Armin went, you went, all that stuff. So it's a record of all this bullshit lie that he had, you know, and it's in his office. He took the original and gave your brother and you guys a forgery,
well, it wasn't an original. That yeah, was also a fake. They it was signed. It was signed. They didn't want us to take a signed copy because it was a forgery. They only did that into our face.
The whole will itself, that signed is a forgery, meaning the statements inside it are not true.
Of course, I know that.
Okay, no, that's what AI is.
Well, my stance is, even if it was true, Let's say it was a legitimate, I'm just hypothetically saying, okay? Even if it was a real will, at the end of the day, it is still not valid without it being attached with the separation agreement.
Right.
As a codicil.
As codicil and signing deed.
Right.
And on top of all that, how is it fucking possible that nothing in that will goes to you guys?
That's right. That's right. That was totally, they made sure that my family had no standing in any way, what capacity at all.
Impossible. No way.
Well, that's why it was done like that.
Yeah, I know. And now we're going to get back. Well, I don't know if now's a good time or later for me to do this. I have to explain to AI again everybody's role in their lives in this whole situation where Daryl stood as a friend with Rafi for years since he was kids, and same with Bart.
Yep.
Doing all the official affairs.
Yep.
And I'll get into all that and give it the narrative later because we already have that recorded. Go on.
Yep. Okay, so during the last known, what did I say? During the reading of the last known will for Rafi, my family was provided with an unsigned copy. Da, 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 da. Exactly. Okay, so it says, and is exactly where we, the Ceylons, got a signed copy of the will from, Ivana. However, to this day, our family have never seen the ink-signed will. As it appears, Bart and his office didn't want a forgery signed copy of the will to come from their own hands to us. So they had Ivana do the dirty work. Note, the will was submitted unsigned to the courts. Oh, yeah. Okay. So then I showed the text communications showing that...
Okay, well, let me stop for 1 second, because this is a very important part. When you guys went, which was weeks later, for the hearing or reading of the will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Daryl Lozon shows up, has nothing to do with the entire family, right? It's nothing.
Yep.
It's just a friend of the family, right?
Yep.
He's there with a bundle of fucking paperwork.
Yep.
In the office.
Yep.
Waiting for the will to be signed, eagerly waiting for his share to show 50% of the property is his, right?
Yep.
In my mind.
Yep.
In my mind. Well, he's there for no other reason other than to cash in on what he did, basically, in my mind. I'm just throwing it out there because who fucking invited him? Why is he there?
Ivana.
How did he get
Why,
there?
Obviously, Ivana did. Remember, he showed up to fucking, he showed up with Ivana 2 days after his passing to Crystal's house.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm getting this, yeah. This woman in my head. Why is he there? Why is she there? What was the plot? What's the reason to have this done so fast?
Oh,
and
well, well, okay.
Crystal was the director of the corporation. That's why all the stuff was sent to her house, because she was running the corporate hands for Rafi, right? And who would know all this? Of course, Bart and Ivana, because, well, Ivana was ex-wife and knew that this was happening. But hypothetically, yes and no, okay? Daryl would know this. Well, how would Daryl know this?
That's what Armin always gets so angry about. Daryl being there and the piles of paper, yada, yada, yada. It was all, they all knew about this property in my eyes. And like Rafi had told me, it's now worth a lot of money.
Yep. And Daryl knew this. Daryl just came back into Rafi's life.
Yep.
I have this recording because I saved it somewhere. I just wanted to keep AI.
And let's not forget, Bart's the one who did all the mortgage stuff for it. So he already knew. Then don't forget Colavino's involvement in it all. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get Colavino involved in any of it. That really doesn't pertain to what's
I hear you. I know that. I got you. I agree with that.
Okay. But the important thing is we're going to get into the timeline of high school friends. That was Daryl Lozon and Rafi for a long time. Then Mark comes in, goes to law school even, with friends with Rafi. So legally, he actually did all of Rafi's legal work, including signing the creation of the corporation, then the creation of the will, then the creation of the separation agreement. So he knows every single thing about Rafi, and that's part. 100%. So to me, he has the keys to the door of every transaction that's going to happen from that point on of his death, because he knows everything. Very important to state right now that Bart Segan's wife happens to be Sheila McKinnon, right?
Huh? Paul Howard. No, Paul Howard's. That's okay. Paul Howard's.
Okay, but Bart Segan's wife is, what's her name?
Paula Segan. Paula.
Paula Segan, yes. Now, she just so happens to be, get this straight, Paula Segan, just so happens to be 30-year, long-time, lifetime friend.
With Ivana. Correct.
Ivana Horvat. And at this point, in my mind, for the years that they're separated, which is a while, right? Quite a while. How many years now at this point?
But here's another big, huge aspect.
Mm-hmm. How many years were they separated before you jump into any other conclusions?
Who, Rafi and Ivana? Well, they separated on their own, even prior to the separation agreement being executed on. According to the separation agreement alone, it was like 3.5 years? Three to 4 years.
Right, but before that they were separated more than that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when?
Hold on, estimate, I will say, hold on, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, maybe around 6 to 7 years.
6 or 7 years, so yeah. 6 or 7 years are going by in her head. I'm now thinking to myself, as Ivana is, you know, having this relationship, and they're separated, and they're both separated, you got other boyfriends and all that stuff, she has to keep with somebody else, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
Now, somebody. Partner and friend in all his business transactions, Bart Segan, right? Knowing damn well that this woman had a kid with somebody else, not going to leave her fuck all.
Right.
And he knows this. Bart Segan knows this. But also, and very importantly, so does Yvonne. She knows this dead on, dead to rights, and she's telling her best friend every fucking day that they hang out, drinking wine or hanging out, that I'm not going to get fuck all, I'm not going to get nothing, he's going to leave me with nothing. And the closer it gets to this time frame of his death, she knows it. So does Bart. Now, he can only hear so much because they're probably at the house and Bart's hearing all this. So what happens now? In my mind, the life insurance policies were created, right? And I don't know when the one for the mysterious Empire Life is created, but it's created in the corporate papers that you guys didn't even know about, even though it's on the books, right? It's on whatever you call it.
The spreadsheet. The spreadsheet.
Yeah, it's written there, but we don't know what those are because it's not an official spreadsheet, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this is a plot in my mind of how they're going to benefit and profit from his death. Because the only people that know that she's not going to get fuck all is obviously Ivana, her wife, his wife, Segan's wife is Paul Segan, and then Rafi, because at this point he's like, he's saturated in suburbia, who dies, they're half to go to the sun, and his half to go to the sun. You know what I mean? Nobody gets anything from each other. Nobody benefits from each other. Only person that benefits is the sun. It's clearly stated in the fucking separation agreement.
Yep.
So, whether separation agreement or it exists or not, the fact is the son gets everything. So, let's say somebody dies, right? Let's say Ivana dies, vice versa.
Right,
the other way
exactly.
Around.
Exactly. Please pause.
Okay, now,
pause.
Okay.
Pause. Of course, it only makes sense that Ivana would have made sure that she was equally protected away from Rafi. Rafi couldn't come after her for anything. It only makes sense. This was a separation agreement that protected both of them equally.
Exactly. 100%. So, that being said, the will being signed also stated all this, knowing damn well that when the will was created, it was created in the timeline, 2007, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yes.
Yeah,
I think so.
So at that point, they were separated. One of the first parts of times of their separation, right?
Yeah, you're right. You make a good point there. So
okay.
Ashton was born in 2006. So a couple of years later is when they started having marital problems. They split up, and then for a little time being, supposedly they had gotten back together, and then it didn't work out. And Rafi's like, I'm out of here.
So he makes this will in 2007 because it's stated on there.
As a baby. Yep.
Right. And it's signed by both Paula Segan and Bart Segan. And Bart signs it right beside.
No, that's the separation agreement. Oh, the will too? Maybe the will too?
The will too. Well, I'm going to go look at the stamp on that later, but we'll verify all this because I'll zoom in on all the signatures and the paperwork. But we know for a fact at this point he's tried twice now with this woman. And it didn't work out. He given all he's got, and I'm not fucking leaving a dime to this bitch in his head when I write this will, right? Definitely not leaving her a fucking thing, right? Would make sense, wouldn't you?
You make a good point there. I didn't.
Okay, so why in the fucking will, if you're separating with somebody, you gave it 2 tries, and now she goes and has a kid with somebody else, right?
Well, 2007, I just wonder, were they having marital problems by then? Because at the time, Ashton was a baby, right?
Okay,
newborn.
Hear me out. Hypothetically, is anyone having any problems at all?
Yeah.
Do you think for a second he would leave every fucking thing to her?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Nothing in that will.
You're right.
Family, mom, or anybody.
You're right. You're absolutely 1,000% right.
Yeah. So he goes through all this effort in his entire life to prepare the benefits for everybody in the family except for you guys.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me right now?
That's right.
He's going through hell and high water with this fucking bitch, and she's not getting a damn thing.
Building a house, breaking his neck, breaking the house. My mother lent him the monies to build the house. My mother! That's what the monies are of the $60,000 that was owed back to her. And my mother paid that fucking house, you cunt! Excuse my language, using that word, C.
But now we painted the picture that nobody knows except for us, and they don't want to get out. And who is the mastermind, and who has the closest relationship to all Bart Segan? He knows everything. He knows every in and out and what you got to do in order to get this. Because if he died naturally, right, they know damn well he's not getting a damn thing, and neither is Bart, and neither is anybody else getting paid that's involved. But if we do this instead, we can hide another empire like me. Life insurance in there. Nobody's going to know about it. And we can all collect on the back door. You're going to be happy. Daryl, we need you. This is where you come in. You're a good friend, but you haven't paid your taxes. You don't legally get that half 50% because you haven't paid it, right? That's the argument he had with Rafi. And Rafi knows this. He's fucking bitching and complaining, says I shouldn't have made him my partner, blah, blah, blah. And then complaining starts. That's when he starts complaining, and all of a sudden, Daryl, hated Ivana, hated his old life, all of a sudden he's good friends with her. And he's there at the fucking house 2 days later collecting the fucking computer and will and everything else they need to steal from them. And on top of all that, when Rafi died, we go through all of this in the poisoning later, the whole story again, but he was the first one at the campsite to walk in that door when he's thrown up and dying. And on the whole ride home, Daryl, this is all he could talk about, is 50% of the mortgage, 50% of the building, 50%, yep. A 10-hour ride, 10 fucking hours, Julie's going, what the fuck, this guy's been friends with him his whole life, and all he can think about is half the house, the whole fucking ride, and he won't shut up about it, and it's making her sick to the stomach because she can't believe he's dead, right? And Daryl, all he's talking about is half.
Yep.
Okay, so now you know the whole plot. It's irrefutable from this fucking point on. There's no fucking way anybody hears this story, it's just going to investigate. There's nothing else. You know what? From this very point on, hearing all these stories and transactions, if a cop hears this story, either you're complicit because you're getting paid off, or you're a fucking moron as a cop, police officer, investigating it, right? The original investigating officer was from Sudbury, right? What was his name then?
Don Arsenal.
What, Don Arsenal?
Yep.
He shows up and says, I'm going to make it my thing because this is suspicious. He's 43 years old, too young to die at this, blah, 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 and it's not natural the way he died. Did he not speak that?
Yes.
And then did he flip on you later?
Yes.
Okay, so you think he was bought?
Why wouldn't you think that?
Well, yes, of course he was. Because if he's determined to prove that your brother died unnaturally, right? Determined as a detective. And all of a sudden, no, this is not right, blah, blah, blah. And that's where the coroner comes in, Emily Groot. She's now in there, and she comes up with this bullshit report because they're all bought off, because they're all talking to judges that are involved, higher superior people who are involved. Listen, this is something we can make money off. He's dead. Nobody's going to fucking be able to prove this. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just thinking in my head of this conglomerate connection here to place it all together. We control this lawyer. We control this one. We control all the books and papers. Listen, I'm pretty sure you guys know you're going to get paid. There's a huge amount here, and it's hidden in the Empire Life Insurance because nobody knew about it except when I seen that motherfucker on there. Like, why would he have 2 fucking policies, and they're only talking about Sun Life? But the insurance said $100,000 his wife, life insurance policy in the business name. Well, that's impossible. Why would you insure someone for $100,000? That's probably 2 more zeros on there. More like $10 million. That's all money did these motherfuckers make? It's very important to find out. How much did Empire Life pay off as an insurance policy to these fucking people, and why? She made herself director. How did she know to make herself director? Because that would put her in charge of everything, because technically, the first person in line would probably have been Crystal as signing power there, but obviously, her son. His son gets everything as signing power from the corporation because it automatically goes to blood in a corporate paper. But she knew this and Bart knew this. Mm-hmm. Had to get signing power, had to become director, change all of that stuff in, and those funds were changed behind closed doors that nobody knows about except for them. And you guys were out of it as well. Knew, didn't know nothing about what they just did.
Nope.
I mean, way more than you think.
Especially when they pick on the vulnerable while we're trying to fucking mourn. And they're probably, to this day, we have never mourned Rafi's passing.
Yep.
With dignity.
Because of all the deception and all the lies they put you guys through. Motherfuckers. Use my language.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's your bullet points from there. Now, from that point on, you have proof of every conversation and every step of the way, because this is going to get really, this is going to get really important. Now that we brought that to light, okay, it shows you the payment plan that's going to happen. It's going to show you a payment plan to every officer by saying no and getting involved, and every judge controlling the situation, and from your, according to your records, emails, and phone conversations with every officer. So from this point on, continue, please.
I forgot what I was just going to say. That's, wait, what was I going to bring up?
You said, oh.
I know. I went to say something important.
It's okay. It'll come to you.
I can't believe that.
Probably has to do with them going to the house to pick up stuff.
Anyhow, if it comes to me, it'll come to me probably.
It'll come to you soon, because we're going to describe the timeline all over again here in the events, in the emails. You see, okay, so now we're past the Lozon part. He was in there waiting to get his money, basically. Watch the reading of the will to make sure it was read, and they know that they're getting...
Oh, I remembered. Let's not forget that they knew that Rafi was about to propose to Julie. So to do that, he had to get divorced. So they knew that if he got divorced, it was game over for them. Therefore, they had to act fast to have him offed, is my, you know, theory. Because once divorced, Ivana for sure could have made no claims. Rafi's dead, they hide the separation agreement, as they did. Magically, she's in control of everything. Because once they were divorced, once Rafi divorced him, or even put divorce on paper, in action, it was game over for her.
Yep.
She wasn't going to get nothing from any insurance policies.
And they had already moved in that house together, didn't they?
What house?
The house that's still what's his name? Daryl Lozon and bought together.
Yeah, Daryl Lozon. That had nothing to do with the house that he built for Ivana. That was the house prior to that.
I'm talking about Julie and...
Yes. And I remember Ivana stood up in the reading of the will. She got really upset. When I said, well, what about Julie? She common law. She's like, really? She all of a sudden she's like, what do you mean, Lucy? There's no common law here.
Holy fuck, that's huge. You know what? You're right, because so I asked if she already moved in, because she knew that the divorce would make it official, but she also knew that common law in Canada is, I think, within 1 year.
Yep, one and a half years. Yep.
Yep. And Julie had already been living there.
Yep.
Along with Rafi.
Yep.
So she already fucking knew that. But for her to jump up like that, she knew common law was already in place.
Yep. I don't make this shit up. The crystal's a witness to what occurred.
So there's your plot. 100%. She knew she didn't want the divorce. You're 1,000% right on that. She gets expensive. The divorce was finalized. She gets nothing. Absolute nothing. But the whole game plan,
knew about the insurance policy, and they knew that once Rafi divorced, it was game over for her. And let's never forget, why is Bart's signature with his name not printed under the separation agreement? Because Because they didn't want to know who, if the separation agreement did ever come to light, which they were superbly confident wouldn't, but if it did, whose signature is that witnessed it?
Let me ask you a question. The life insurance policy itself for Sun Life, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody dies, went for
$600,000? Yeah.
If he died, we got to find a copy of that just to see what it really stated, because I'm not even sure if I would agree with that. If somebody dies, it's supposed to be more than $600,000. I'm telling you. I don't think you guys got the right gist there.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what we know. What can we do?
I'm just saying, in mind, completely. I've never had a life insurance policy, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, expenses in life are way higher than that, and you can insure yourself as $600,000. It's going to be more than that.
Interesting. And, of course, Bill Benson was completely in on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's already been determined. That's already been determined anyways.
Yeah, we had that conversation. I got to find it. I think I saved it on my Google Docs. I printed it there. I just didn't title it, so I have to go back and get that recording. I'm not sure if we recorded our conversation. I think I did, but I did it from speech to text. This one right now is being recorded as audio on my Brisk Audio. Go on.
Yeah. So next, so I show the timeline. I show Ivana's text communications between us, and showing that 1.5 months later is when we finally approached Ivana saying, "Hey, Bart, wouldn't give us a signed copy of it?" And she's like, "Okay, I'll give it to you." And she showed up on my mother's house the next day, and it was weird that, Bart said to get it from, and she said that, told my mother, "Well, I was in the area, and plus I also had to go to Bart's office to get the signed copy from you." It's like, what? How contradictory, how contradictive of words. Bart says, "Oh, they don't have it," and that she's going to get it from their office? So there's that. So anyways.
Next part.
Yeah, so then I'd say, next came when Crystal and my mom went and had a meeting with Bill Benson and Ivana on September 12, 2016. During this meeting, Ivana wasn't very happy of the fact that it was confirmed that Crystal had full signing authority over Rafi's sole-owned company of Northern Exposure Decks and Fences, as Ivana quickly then stormed out of the meeting, to where Crystal, along with Bill Benson and his son Patrick Benson, Patrick. Crystal opened up a new policy for Ashton, moving the previous policies of $500K to $100,000 into a new policy, securing it.
I gotta stop for a second because we went over this before, but Bill Benson had to confirm to her that yes, because she had signing power over the corporation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This claims she needs a role here. Yes. She had signing power over the corporation, right?
Yes.
In other words, she controls the life insurance policy.
Supposedly, according to Crystal.
Right, according to Crystal.
No, according to Crystal, they confirmed it, actually. Bill Benson actually called Revenue Canada, I believe. Revenue Canada? Wherever. To find out, to confirm. And that's why on the paperwork, when they first started writing managing officer as her title, they said, no, it's correct that, that they have confirmed that she's the primary officer.
Right. She's a primary signing officer.
Yes, I guess.
Okay. Now, Bill Benson, his role is life insurance policy is under what? Sun Life?
No, Benson Financial is his family business, I guess, company. And I guess they're like underwriters, agents for Sun Life?
Yep. Uh-huh. For Sun Life, right?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so this is all about signing rights for Sun Life Insurance, according to you guys at this moment, right?
Yep.
Okay, so now I'm going to go research and see if Bill Benson also underwrites Empire Life.
Oh, shit. Interesting.
Yes.
Didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which would make her signing power. That's why she's so irate right now. The only one who has signing power is Crystal.
He's retired now. He's retired now. His, you know, his son takes him.
I can look it up easily. But the point is, what I'm getting at is the scheme and the lies, and the fact that now Ivana knows she doesn't have no fucking rights here, and they got to find a way to get it. Right?
Yep.
So at this movie, I'm assuming now Phil Benson knows all of this, now that it's confirmed that Crystal has the signing rights to everything, and does not like Ivana at all. Because 2 days later, they raid her house and take her computer and all that shit, and wanted to take her personal computer that was a gift from Rocky to her, Crystal, right?
Yep.
Now, does Crystal still have that computer? Or did they
Damn, Frank. Damn, do you have a photographic memory? Like, what the fuck?
I told you. Now, where's this, now you can tell, now tell me any fucking buddy else, because we're friends for life, and I can't stand this shit either, but our AI at this moment doesn't know our relationship as friends since we were teenagers, right?
Yeah.
And I used to pick up Armin, I knew Rocky, I knew you very well. So, and I sat at your house, and you braided my hair.
Down, and then we tried to get it rebooted, but it appears, but we don't know, because obviously we can't get into hard drive, that there's nothing really on it. We ended up...
Who said that?
We're saying that.
Okay, so you have, that's your assumption. Does she still have that PC?
Yes.
Okay, call her and tell her forensics, because I'll do this legally with forensics, right? And myself, first of all, with AI, what I do is I copy it with the hash counts, so nothing can be altered before we touch it, anything. And there's a way to get into the BIOS right from the very heart of the computer and start from and work our way to this point where we're talking right now, basically. So believe me, there's enough evidence on there to prove fucking everything. I'm going to kill them all now. Thank you so much.
I also have one of Rafi's phones. I have it. It was the phone that was given to my mother, and Ivana tried taking it away from her. I believe it's that phone. Yes, it is. Yes, I had my mother send it to me.
I need that phone, too, because on the phone, it's going to show me
I also can't get into it, the password. My mom, I have...
Okay, don't worry about all that. Mm-hmm. Okay? We'll get into it because it's a murder investigation. You'll get permission from the family, from the company, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll do the legal ramifications about that. The point is, we'll be able to get into, where I told you, his Google activities or whoever they were using. So every activity that he's done... created phone call, message, text message, email, all that stuff.
I know he used Hotmail. He used Hotmail.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is all those communications that he had with, you're telling me that every time he had to sit in the office with Bart, no, he wrote him an email and said, hey, Bart, mm-hmm. I want this changed. Make sure that bitch doesn't get anything. Mm-hmm. So all those conversations are now privy to you when you get it. It's going to be proven fact that Bart made this whole fucking thing up. You get it? Because right now, you guys are in the dark. You don't know what Rafi was saying. But when you get his text messages and his emails, it's going to prove that he said to Bart, make sure that bitch doesn't get nothing. Make sure everything's in my name. Make sure this, make sure that. Believe me, that's going to be the winner right there. So tell Crystal, call her today. Say, I need you to find that PC. I need you to write an affidavit, state it, and get it, you know, get it whatever. Your whole recollection about everything. And get it signed and submit it as an affidavit. And then give me permission to take the PC, review it, and I'm going to do it. Believe me, I'm going to do this legally because I don't want messed up evidence. I'm going to show you the hash count that has not been altered. All we're doing is reviewing it. Nothing can be touched or stolen or anything like that. It's your evidence, something they were trying to steal because they knew damn well why. Okay? Believe me, they're caught now. There's no way out of it. I'm telling you right now. I already know in my mind how Rafi would have acted. There's no fucking way he would have left you guys nothing. And then we have proof right there on that laptop. That's why they wanted it. Bart, you get a hold of her, because from that point on, I don't think you're going to need to submit any other evidence. Well, the other evidence that you do submit is just going to prove how John Paul Howard, Mary Jo Nolan, everybody was complicit in the cover-up, murder, and for profit of your brother. And it's going to show why he opened up Empire Light, what its true value was about. You know what I mean? It'll show me everything, and there's no way out. That's probably the most valuable piece of information you could get.
Yeah. The laptop. So then I go on in this thing. I say, next came Crystal. Okay, so sole-owned company. Ivana quickly then stormed out of the meeting to where Crystal with Bill Benson opened up a new policy, blah, 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 in means of securing it all for Ashton, and was successfully done as a notice letter from Sun Life head office signed by Nick, the president, Nick DiLorenzo, was then sent to Crystal's home address to where Raffi had his office registered as. Next, how interesting is it? It is that of the date of October 17, 2016, seen below in text communication between me and Ivana. Ivana, who claims Raffi trusted her. Ha ha ha. Yeah, Raffi trusted her, all right. That of her backstabbing him after his death. As she also claims that she, quote unquote, during this is about the text message, right? She, as executor, had followed procedure. Keep in mind that this date of October 17, 2016, comes of importance further down in the timeline of events. So then I put a screenshot of all the bunch of my communications with text messages back and forth between Yvonne and me. I think I've sent this to you before. And it shows that October 17th. And she says all these things to me. And, you know, and it says, see date forgery. And by that date, the forgery was already done. So I'm communicating with her about this shit on October, but she doesn't mention, oh, by the way, the funds were, you got it?
Yeah.
In September, and then.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you at a very important part of the meeting with Bill Benson, and you said that she was there to sign a separate life insurance or something?
Yeah, she opened up. She, along with Patrick Benson, because Bill Benson was having his son do the application form.
The policy, yeah.
Policy or whatever you want to call it.
Okay. Now I'm going to interrupt again. You're saying your mom. So he suggests at this point, the original reason they went there is to see who had signing power on this, right?
I guess so, yep. Yeah, and okay. Remember, Ivana was already there. She said she's running late. And by the time my mother and Crystal had already got there.
Right. They wanted to get the story straight.
That's right.
Before you got there.
That's right.
Seemingly. So now, here's the kicker. Now that Benson had confirmed that Crystal was actually the one in charge of the signing power, right? And the only
It's on recording.
Okay. Beautiful. And the only one who would be able to sign off on anything to get her new signature on, let's call it, a new life insurance policy, right?
Right.
And it just so happened to be for how much?
Well, the $600,000. They were locking it up. So what they wanted, my mother and Crystal's concern was that Ivana's obviously money hungry, and she's trying to get her hands on the policy, right? We were suspicious of things.
Right.
That meeting wasn't recorded, the one after that with me, and she brought this all up to Bill Benson about that document that she filled out with her son, right, for the policy being locked up. And so their concern was to Bill, like, we want to secure this all for Ashton. The Ceylons aren't looking for money. They just want to make sure everything is secured for Ashton from his father, his inheritance, right? So Bill suggested that they create a new policy. So basically transferring the old policy, the $600,000, into a new policy. And to where Bill...
Yeah, I got to interrupt here. But here's the deceit by Bill Benson as well now. The they had to deceive Crystal into signing another document, not knowing what it really was about, right? Because at this point, nobody's getting anything but Ashton.
But
no
here's...
No matter what happens, hold on, listen to me. No matter what happens, the official signer and the one in charge is Crystal at this point. There's no way in fucking hell anybody else is getting by her unless they kill her too or make her sign another document.
Well, there you go. There's another important part that we missed. During the reading of the will, quickly Bart told they got rid of Crystal. They said your services for Northern Exposure is no longer required. You'll be getting a severance pay. Why would you get rid of the very person that knows everything about the company? She ran it for Rafi. There was only two people, and now you're going to make Ivana the whatever take care of it to close down the company.
That was at the reading of the will.
This is during the reading of the will.
And Crystal's there.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So.
Bart planned the whole thing.
Of course.
Never would have mentioned that.
So now fast forward, they're setting up this new account, and we're believing that it was to, obviously, secure everything for Ashton, right? So she did that. Hold on, but
it's already secure.
So when they did that, that was on September 12th, 2016. Okay? That meeting between Bill Benson, Crystal, Ivana, and Bill Benson. My mother, I miss my mother. My mother, Crystal, Bill Benson, and Ivana was a meeting September 12th, 2016. That's the very meeting Ivana got upset and left. They proceeded, Crystal with Bill Benson, but he put it over his son, Patrick Benson, filling out the application form. This application form, believing that they're securing everything for Ashton. Okay?
But wait, I gotta interrupt because you went over everything, and I know we just said this, but you gotta be specific. That very meeting, again, states that Crystal has signed you as Ivana takes mom. Now, she knew right there.
That's right. She was upset. She was upset.
She got upset for a reason because she knew the plot is not going to work.
That's right. She felt like, yeah. So they did do this. They filled out everything. It was submitted to Sun Life by Bill Benson. Sure enough, successfully, she had no signing authority. How did a notice letter get sent to Crystal's house showing that she successfully did this? And it's signed off by the president, Nick DiRenzo, that this new policy for Northern Exposure, Sun Life, has been successfully been achieved. Right? A few days later.
So what was it? The new policy it was?
Yes.
Okay, did it state in there what the new policy was?
Yes. It shows, yes.
You got to tell me what it was. What does it say?
I don't know. Something you got to read it to understand. Over.
But I have the document. You sent it to me?
I'm not sure if I've sent it to you. Anyhow.
We're going to see what it is.
Okay.
You need to know. It's very important.
Yeah. So in the meantime, shortly after, she gets another letter from Sun Life. But if I recall correctly, I think when she got this letter, if I'm remembering correctly, I could be wrong. I don't think she opened up the letter. She kind of put it aside and didn't realize it was there. Then later on, she noticed she come to realize there's this letter that was sent a few days later from Sun Life after she had successfully made this. This letter says that the policy of ownership or whatever, your request, and this letter is being sent to Northern Exposure, and it says your request for the policy mentioned above to be transferred to Ivana has been processed. So when she saw this, she's like, who requested? I didn't request for this. Who could have requested this from Northern Exposure? There's only two people. Rafi is the owner and me. So who requested this on September 12th? And it was received to her on September 19th. Here's the fucking kicker. The date of that policy she opened up for Ashton, the new policy, is dated the same day as this request being sent. And it was signed off by a Carmen Yip from head office of Sun Life. You got it? So they do this, and hold on. Bill Benson even told Darren from California there that Ivana came back. So what I believe took place after they did this, Bill Benson quickly sent it to Sun Life, making it look like it's all legit or whatever, or maybe that's a whole policy, different policy, right? Who knows? But on the same date, all of a sudden, it appears like Ivana, or maybe she didn't even go to Bill Benson's. We don't know the truth, but according to Bill, she did. It's on recording. So Ivana goes back, and we believe that Bill Benson was paid off. And you hear him on recording with Darren. Well, she came back and she told me that, oh, to make sure that the policy is sent, and you know, however she said it. And he said he knew everything that, you know, was he knew it was fraudulent. He was whistleblowing on them because he was petrified, being caught, right?
Because it all happened in one day.
Yes, that's right.
Impossible.
Exactly. So.
Yeah,
So obviously, either she did this with Bart on the outside somehow, or after Crystal, they came back into his office and he probably said, shit, darn, I already sent that off, you know? But this also proves that Crystal did indeed have signing authority that plays a huge role comes to importance down the line. Because Sunlight tried to pretend.
Even more important, you've got the president of the company being paid off because there's no way any review of a new policy could go through that fast in one day.
So well, it wasn't in one day. Oh, well, the new policy wasn't in one day. The new policy they opened up was, well, it was a few days. It was in like a week.
So you said, when did she get the letter? And it was dated. Same day though, the next day of the letter, even though the letter was received.
Which one? Later. Which letter?
Okay. You start from the beginning, when the policy was changed in the office, they made your mom sign or whatever, in Crystal sign. She got a letter in the mail, right, Crystal?
Yep.
Saying that the request.
Yep.
What?
Transferring of the policy.
Okay, so now in that letter, when was that dated for the transfer of the policy? For example,
the letter was dated September 19, I believe. I have it right here. Hold on, I can get it. It's just very close. Hold on. September 19. It's in my hands right now.
Okay. And the meeting was when?
The meeting was September 12th.
So 7 days later.
Oh, so September 16th, owner of transfer of ownership that Crystal signed with Patrick Benson, it's got the fax number on the side showing that it was sent to Sun Life on the 14th, January, July?
Exactly.
September 16th. So 2 days. But wait, hold on. Hear me out. Hold on. It was done on the 12th that she filled out her signature. It was signed Wait. That's the forgery. I'm looking at the forgery one. My apologies. Okay. The one that she filled out, hold on. Where is the paperwork that she did with Patrick? Here it is. It's right here. Hold on. So the paperwork she did with Patrick is dated September 12th, 2016, okay? And then she received, that was on the 12th, 2 days later from Sun Life, she gets a letter showing that she successfully did that with Patrick. September 14th, 2 days later, she receives a letter from Nick DiLorenzo, the president, Sun Life Financial.
Okay. signed off on it.
That's right.
And
yeah, and therefore, obviously she has signing authority. This is the president doing this. Obviously the president would have done the complete due diligence to make sure this is the proper person as primary officer having signing authority.
And signing off on what? Why would she sign off on anything? What is the signing off of?
She said she opened up this new policy.
You said signing off.
Well, meaning she signed it with Patrick Fenton. It's the application form.
What? To open a new policy for
that's right.
How much was it?
It doesn't really say. It just says a fixed. It's hard to kind of to make understand. It's like fixed assets. Hold on, I'm going to tell you. Estimated value of your personal liability. It says over $100,000.
That's what I thought. So, but the life insurance policy that they transferred, or she's just basically, in her mind, signing a new life insurance policy because she has signing power for your mom to make sure Ash is taken care of just in case something's going on wrong over there, right?
Basically, yeah, well, for Northern Exposure, she has signing authority, not my mom.
But hear me out. Your mom is concerned that
right,
something might
that's
be
right.
She's the only one who can make sure that this signature
that's
goes
right.
through is Crystal.
That's
right?
correct. That's right.
Your mom's requesting Crystal to sign this, correct?
That, yeah, that's right. You're right.
There's the sheet is in here somewhere. Sun Life, now the letter comes from DiLorenzo, saying that your signature or signing, I want to make sure that you signed off. Because signing off means you're removing yourself of something.
Oh, okay? Sign up. Who signed? I'm saying signing, signed, approved.
Okay. So now DiLorenzo says your signature or your thing, your approval, your request has been approved to
right.
open a new policy?
Yeah.
Or not sign off of a policy? Correct?
No, not sign off. He approved it. He's showing you successfully this, what she did with Patrick Benson, the application, was approved. And here it is. She opened up a new policy.
And it's under Sun Life, though, right?
Correct.
Okay, but it just so happened to be the exact same amount that is under Empire Life, $400,000, correct?
It just says over $100,000.
Right, well, that number is used for a reason. $100,000 was also used in Empire Life, which nobody knows about. But we're assuming now there's two Sun Life policies because it's either the one that you're arguing about from the very beginning, which they know the only one that has possession of that is now Ashton, because the only one with signing power is now Crystal, and your mom requested to lock it in under this other policy that she just signed up.
Yeah, and during the next meeting with me there, Crystal even explains, and it's all on recording. She tells Bill Benson, hey, but I told you, I thought you we were locking everything up. The 500 and 100, so 600. Oh, well, he says, well, anyways, that's not really happening anymore because Ivana came in here and, you know, she wanted the money or whatever paid out to her, blah, 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 right? So he was explaining that, no, like basically, that didn't work out. Like, no big deal. Because they didn't think, because nobody knew, they didn't, like, Bill seemed like he was shocked that she even received this. Because nobody knew that Rafi had registered her home address as for his office.
Right. So what I was getting at, I'm exactly right. When I said the word signed off, meaning that she signed off signing authority, meaning gave it to Ivana deceitfully behind your back, made her sign this new signature saying, yep, I release everything to Ivana, which you guys were not privy of, but that was the deceit. That's why the second meeting, when she goes there, I thought we were doing this, and that, and he goes, oh, well, that's kind of off the table.
Yeah.
Means that Benson knew 1,000% that he had to get her signature over here to sign power over to Ivana, extract all the money, get the $600,000 within days and weeks, whatever it was, and they all got paid off. So he fraudulently did all this. He's going to be arrested as well. It's on paper. He just implemented the plan with the owner of the company or the manager, whatever, DiLorenzo. All of them are in cahoots at this point because it's physically impossible for all of this to go by so fast when you're all there knowingly, willingly to sign a piece of paper to make sure it's secured. But they did the exact opposite. They insecured it, unlocked it, and gave it to that cunt. Excuse my language this time. There's your proof and point right there.
that room, she knew damn well, unless they got her to sign, like I said, either they kill Crystal too, or they get her to sign off on something deceitfully. So the game plan was back in play. And sure enough, she got her way. She got Crystal to sign something bogusly, not aware what it was, and Bill Benson's in on it. He's going to do life in prison for accessory to assistance.
Here you go. Transfer of ownership, the application form with Crystal's signature forged to it, is the same date, September 12th, as the new policy that Crystal opened up that day. I mean, you can't deny this shit, man.
Does it say policy on there and policy number?
No, because remember, it's all redacted.
Exactly.
That's what they're petrified of.
Exactly.
Now you understand why Dan Potvin, Windsor Police, sabotaged the forgery. And not getting the document unredacted for us like they were supposed to. And he agreed to it.
Perfect. Now we're back in the timeline. Now we connect all the police officers from that point on where they're getting paid on this bogus life insurance policy. Because now it's all in the hands of the controllers, meaning Ivana, going to pay everybody off with this. Bill Benson gave her permission, gave her the money. There's another policy that you guys don't know about, you're going to catch in on. So behind closed doors, Dan Potvin comes in from this point on, and every other officer underneath him follows his command and said whatever he says, don't listen, won't help, whatever. You know what I mean?
And then you got, and then what's most damning is that of that I put together, and you can't deny it, Bart's close, tight connection to Drew Dilkins. Get the fuck out of here, all of you guys. Again, excuse my language. Bart Segan. Bart Segan and Drew Dilkins. Come on.
Yes. And he's going to put the right officer in there. Now, who recommended the call of Dan Potvin?
Who? Armin. Armin did.
Okay, so Armin calls him out of trust for some reason.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
There is a reason behind that. We'll find out next time we talk to him. But there must have been something there that Dan Potvin was on his side about at first, or else he wouldn't have recommended him.
Right.
I don't know
how
he knows.
Well, I know a little bit. Yeah.
And that turned probably into the fact that they're connected to somehow with Dilkins, and that's why your brother's getting so mad now. He got deceived.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. And now we're going to look into the playground of the police officer, the role of Drew Dilkins, and this whole storyline and everybody underneath. Dan Potvin, because he's what? His position is an investigator?
No, he was superintendent.
Superintendent, wow. Yeah.
And he's the one who put it to Rob Durling to investigate. And I told him, I don't trust him. But we only decided to do it again. My husband convinced us, saying, how can they fuck up the forgery? How can they fuck up not getting the document unredacted?
They couldn't. All they had to do was get it
That's right. That's it. That's right. Sure enough, it was wrong to allow them to fucking go ahead and investigate it. When I told Dan Potvin, we do not trust Windsor Police. There's a huge conflict of interest in our opinion, right? It has to go to another law. I told them many times. I even told the asshole Chris Reno.
Okay. Now, I'm very important here. You have made this not only orally, but recorded probably emails, right, to Dan Potvin. He refuses to do so. Now, he's an accessory to assisting in covering up. He knows at this point it was murder. For sure he knows at this point because they're being paid off. There's no other way around it. Because a cop who's doing his real job, he's going to look at this and say, what the fuck is all this? Are you kidding me? Every line is blacked out? Come on. I got to investigate this. I'm arresting everybody. But why arrest everybody?
When you can get paid. When you can get paid.
When you can get paid. Exactly. Continue with the deceit, and they're going to go to the point. Now, at this point, here's another thing. At this point, none of this goes to the Supreme Court yet, right?
Supreme Court? No.
Okay, so I mean Superior Court, sorry. But at this point, nothing, right? So you guys go to a civil lawsuit. So you're still in the core investigation of all of this part being denied by the superintendent, who is the highest you can get in the police department other than the chief at that point, right?
I have no idea.
Okay, he's telling, what's his name, Dr. Durling?
Yep.
What's his name? Drew Durling?
Robert Durling.
Okay. So you recommend Robert Durling. You guys make a phone call. Now, this guy doesn't do fuck all. Is this the guy who comes to the house and doesn't
No.
Okay, go on.
Yeah.
I mean, because his role from that point on.
Whose role? Rob Durling's?
Durling.
Well, Brian Cobb knows him well. And he's the one who had told me, stay away from him. He is not to be trusted. And that's how I decided to tell Dan Potvin, no, I have a friend, somebody, I have a good source that's telling, you know, does not trust. No, we don't trust things to be.
No. Yeah, and then I rightfully so.
And I heard some other stuff.
That's exactly why Potvin gave Durling to you, because he knows himself that this guy's a crooked cop. Somebody else, that's exactly why he would.
He's a link where he would be willing to get paid off or whatever. You know, follow orders.
Right. Down the chain, line of command.
Yeah.
And then you said no, and then he still continued. So who was the next option after that?
That was it. It was dead. They wouldn't allow us to do anything further than that.
And he wouldn't investigate? He refused to it?
No, he sabotaged it.
He agreed at first.
Who did?
Dan Potvin.
Agreed what?
To get it redacted.
Yeah, 1,000%. My husband got it all on recording.
So he reviewed the paper, saw clear as day that everything is black on there,
yep.
And it's impossible to even know what this document's even about.
Right.
It could have been about anything. Changing a flat tire. Who knows? You know what I mean? Nobody can see what's on that document.
Well, we can. We know it's about transfer of ownership.
Exactly. That's my whole point. You guys know what it's about. And he knows it's something being covered up.
That's right.
Okay, so now he's in cahoots. He's definitely going to go to jail. He's losing his license. He's losing his pension. He's losing everything, no matter what.
He's supposedly already retired. He's retired from Windsor Police.
I know.
And then coincidence, his wife is a judge. Superior Court, AG, Crown Attorney, or whatever you want to call it.
What's your name?
I told you, Nicole Lampierre.
Lampierre. So he's probably talking about the law with her. Rightfully know the law. Now, here's the important thing. What is Potvin's connection with you, Jokins?
I don't know. Just he's a super. Well, Drew Dilkins is the chairman of Windsor Police.
Okay, at that time.
I guess he's back on. They reelected him.
Just forget about now. But full force at that time, he was full control, chairman of the chief police, right?
Yep.
Chairman of the police.
Yep.
Okay, and chief of the police at the time, was it Mizuno or was it Jason Belair?
Mizuno.
Oh, wow. Okay, now, here's the kicker. I'm going to do the investigation.
And then quickly, in the meantime, Jason Belair came in.
What's stepping in?
So it was both of them. Mizuno, and it stepped into Jason Belair.
Because they only all got promoted, according to my records, were all in 21 or 22 officially, or unless it could have been just Chief DeGraw. You know, I might
He was also involved in it too, in our case, Carl DeGraw.
This is very important for my case now, because I didn't know exactly when he became Chief of Police, but if it's just ahead of that timeline. Now, I was just doing research last night. Now, not just last night, but I knew that it was Jason Belair. That was at that house when I gave that phone call, okay? And at the time, he was a certain officer, listed as a certain type of officer. And I knew that Sergeant DeGroff at the time, okay? But it means Belair would have been promoted chief first, and next in line, he would have made his buddy DeGroff, which was in 2021 afterwards. So it makes perfect sense that Mizuno handed off to Belair. Belair makes deputy chief in the DeGroff in 21-22, going to my case, but they're all buddies in this because they all operate the sting operation that was involved in mine. So they're in higher power more than everybody else knows is what I'm getting at. So there's got to be a chain of command there.
Wait.
Who knows about all this, and that is Drew Dilkins. That's where he comes into play.
Frank,
yeah.
There's something that you just remind me about something. To tell you about something that goes way back. It's going to blow your mind.
Jump in now.
And also remember what happened to Brian, what they did to Brian by swatting his house and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Years back, you're going to be just dumbfounded by this. Years back, I'm going to let me see what year was this. 20, maybe, wait, 26. They're 2006. 2006 or 2007, okay? I had recently started coming back and forth to Florida, right? I came to Florida, and you know, because I broke down into a bad depression, and you know, I came down here and made friends, and so I was going back and forth. Hold on, honey, who's this guy here in our backyard? Oh, is this the guy that was supposed to come, honey? Or is it the survey guy? Yeah. Okay. So, what happened is, all of a sudden, my ex-boyfriend at the time, we broke up. And I still allowed him to be living in my house. I owned my house. My house was my house in Tecumseh, right? But I was down here, and I had another good friend of mine living there, and another girl. And because I was broken, right? Going through depression. I had
family in Florida too, right?
Yes, yes.
But you had a surprise visit, like, holy cow, Lucy, you're here. Do you remember what year it was exactly?
2000. Well, when I first.
I think it was 2004, 2005. Here.
2006.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so in two.
Go ahead.
So in,
because you came before that, I remember. Because don't forget.
That was way before when I came to see you guys. That was way no. That had yeah. That was before
okay.
that. So, anyways, when I was here during that time. I started not being able to get a hold of my ex-boyfriend, Phil, right? Because he was taking care of the household, taking care of my bills and stuff. We remained good friends, right?
What was his name?
Phil Barbeau.
Okay.
This is huge. This is going to blow your mind. So, Phil Barbeau was, you know, taking care of my household, making my bills were always paid, and, you know, we were still civil, good friends, you know. And all of a sudden, one day, supposedly, and I didn't even know this, so I kept calling Phil for like 2 weeks, some weeks, and I couldn't get a hold of him. So I finally called my Angela, who was living in my house, and I says, Angela, I can't get a hold of Phil. He's ignoring my calls. Can you tell him to call me? Like, is there something, like, you know, something I don't know? She's like, what? You don't know what happened? You don't know where Phil is? Like, what do you mean? Where is he? Did he leave? She says, no, he's in jail. I'm in jail? She's like, you don't know? I'm like, no, what happened? She goes, oh my God, you don't know what happened with the police here. You don't know. So what happened is, SWAT team went to my house, broke down all the doors, while the other girl, timid little girl that was also renting from me, right, scared shitless of what was going on, poor her, I horrified for her. The police came in and knocked down all the whatever, make a long story short. Of course,
no,
later.
Don't make the long story short. No, you get into every fucking detail right now.
Well, okay, so the SWAT team breaks down all the doors and stuff, right? And fills in police, whatever. So I start calling my brothers. Say, what the hell? Anyways, Rafi had went, he says, yeah, have all the doors fixed and everything, right? So what happened is, supposedly somebody called the police, SWAT, whatever you want to call it, that there was equipment in my house of the police. Police equipment. Like, when I say equipment, who knows, well, what are you talking about? From what I recall was told to me. Like, I don't know, like, what do you call it? Uniforms type of stuff? Maybe shields? I don't know.
Well, like, but. SWAT's got to have a reason to break your fucking door down.
Okay, yeah, somebody supposedly called. So, hold on. Somebody called saying that they had information or whatever that this is occurring at my house. Okay, so this is what occurred. which obviously was the truth. Here's the key. Here's
what's this guy's name? Phil or Phil?
Phil. Philip Barbeau.
Okay.
He's dead now. He's dead now. He died.
I know, but it's important. I need to look this information up. What's his fucking name? Barbeau, spelled in B-A-R-D-E-A-U?
Yes. French.
Okay.
Yes. Barbeau.
Go on.
So, supposedly, so this is how long later, even to this day, does it make, oh, so supposedly, when Phil got out of the, what did he get? Got out of jail and shit. He was going after them. Like, you know, things, like what happened? Cause there's another story that is attached to him where he got into a car accident. Yada, yada, yada. Now the story is, I can't, it's too much right now. Some other time I'll explain to you. I'm just trying to do the best. I can't just explain everything in full.
But you don't remember is what you're saying.
To best of my recollection, yeah, I know things. So anyways, I was told that these belongings from the police were from what Phil had been keeping stored in my house for a guy named, and I have to remember what the guy's name is. And maybe Armin might know, okay? Armin would know. So anyways, was whatever. So here's the thing. To this day, does it make any sense that me, the owner of the house, to this day have never been contacted regarding any of all that?
Well, you're privy to every fucking piece of information, because if it was in the commission of a crime, they would have seized your house.
Do you get what I'm getting at?
Yes.
The person that Barbeau was keeping all this equipment for, stored in my house, is connected to Windsor Police. Oh, I guess exactly what you're saying. I'm privy to all this shit. That's right.
But this other guy was a mysterious phone call. Now, the only way they could SWAT could kick in that door, they would have to have a warrant of anything and dangerous warrant. Now, you have the right to find out why that door was kicked in and what was retrieved and removed from there, because it is your house and the repairs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll give you all that information, and you're going to be privy to all of it. It is gone in the spoliation, and it doesn't exist. They're automatically guilty from that very fucking point of your life, everything else that transpires.
Now, for me, it was like a blessing in disguise. But years later, after my brother dies, and I connect all this and things, because remember, I'm layman and that too, right?
Right.
So to me, it was like a blessing in disguise, because I didn't need to deal with all that stuff. So it was buried. Moved on. My house was fixed. Nothing went on. They did whatever they did, right? So...
Right.
So years later, I'm starting to think about all this after Bill Barbeau dies. He died about 2 years prior to Rafi. He died very young too, 40 years old. And in my head, I believe it may have been a hit. For many reasons why. Okay? So now I'm starting to, what the fuck is going on? Is Windsor Police some kind of cartel? Where they're fucking, you know, they conceal all this shit that they do? Where did this guy get Barbeau to get all these things being stored at my house? Obviously, this guy is tightly connected to Windsor Police.
Holy shit.
make any of this up.
Shit. Lucy, you remember the study I did with LAO and LSO and the police department?
Yeah.
And it all starts just right at that time frame with Zuno and all of them starts to get even more corrupt.
That's what Nancy always says. Nancy knows a lot about their shit. You can get into the Friars as well. Tina Fryer, Tammy Fryer. Tammy was wanting to come out as a whistleblower, and she scared shitless to do so. But anyways, that you know that they conceal everything in the vaults and that of all their fucking corrupt.
Right.
That's why they all have to have ties to one another, so they can conceal everything.
And I'm gonna just in my mind, I'm just gonna bring up names for AI to investigate later. Because I went down this road already, and I did the investigation.
Oh, I think the guy's name came to me.
Hold on. Keep it in your mind for 1 second. I went through all my investigations, and I tied people together, and it went down to the morning where Steve Venega told me that he had police officer friends in high places, et cetera, et cetera. So later, I did research, and it did go all the way to Toronto. Sure enough, he had connections all the way through there to the Attorney General, et cetera, et cetera, which brings the connections back to Windsor, Ontario, with the guy who recommended me to build the pool for Steve Venega. And that becomes a role because there's a bridge incident in a Vassar Bridge in a riot or whatever, disturbance. Now I want to get back into that, so remind me later. I'm going to get back into the story with Lucy right now. Go ahead, Lucy.
So I believe I remember the guy's last name. I think the kid's name was... Oh, shit. It was a DeRoche, I believe. Rob DeRoche? Supposedly that was connected to my ex-boyfriend?
Rob DeRoche went to Assumption, I believe. I went to school with him.
He was a good-looking guy. Good-looking kid. Really good-looking kid. And he had a heart attack almost, in the parking lot of Central Fitness at a young age, like 27. He didn't die back then, but a good-looking guy back then.
Yeah. We know him. DeRoche. I know DeRoche. I know the name. I went to high school with him. I think he went to Assumption.
So in my mind, what I believe, if I'm correct, if I do recall correctly, that was the very guy that Phil was connected to that had Phil store this shit at my house for him. All this police.
He was either involved in SWAT or special units.
That's right. Police. That's exactly what I'm getting at. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. And now that plays a huge role because guess who ran the special units in Windsor, Ontario at the time? It's Blair. And guess who was underneath him?
Fred. But I think at the time of this all going on in my house, I think it was Francis, whatever his name, not Francis, but Frederickson. Or maybe
probably.
Even before that. I don't remember.
Probably, but I'm going to get to the point because in 2005, when they wrongfully arrested me and extradited me in 2006 illegally with forgery, okay, this plays a role with all those people and border control. But I knew damn well, and I didn't tell you this, by the way. Last night, guess what I researched on my signature? They said I signed this forgery there, and they said Edward Ducharme signed it at Windsor, but they scratched out Toronto.
Yeah.
And then on the actual paper, it doesn't have the judge's name. That's the forgery because the font size is different, and it says my counsel signed it, and I signed right beside it. But guess what the worst part is? The paragraph there says, I agree knowingly that whatever the USA was supposed to give as evidence would have, in other words, had the hearing, they would have had to come up with this evidence. And I signed off consent to let me go to the United States without signing all this off. So for 18 months, I fought extradition, and now you're telling me I signed this bogus piece of paper? So what I'm getting at, that was all
forgery.
The Superior Court, the Crown, the Border Control area, they all know this. Had to make sure that this skips through that area.
Yeah.
Okay? So they're running an international Interpol gimp between all of these people. That's why all those agencies I said that had to suppress me, I'm nobody. For a reason. Because this is all going to get out. And now I'm going to show you the code after we have this conversation. But yes, it was DeGraw, it was the Belair, okay? They all got promoted in cycles just like I told you.
Yeah.
All I thought people get promoted in cycles. because a new crew comes in, the same age group, same everything, same yeah. judge and everything, and they get promoted in that sense. And it goes down to the next guy, which was Drew Dilkins, who was fucking ahead of him, best friend to him.
That's Prince. Right. That's right. That's right. My whole thing.
The baton was passed off.
And coincidentally, what's the incident that happened to Armin about a couple of months prior with his lawyer, Paul Esco? The whole thing at my father's building. Francis pretends that there's no evidence of the fucking elevator ever breaking. That was an excuse to be able to have the elevator fixed and by putting an insurance policy on it. And Armin gets a fucking charge of over 5,000. Criminal charge of mischief over 5,000.
There you go. They can create a charge, they can create a narrative, whatever they want. Yep. Nobody's smart enough, good enough. Until the computer age came about today, AI comes about, you and I magically reconnect in our life because of deception and fraud and theft and murder and all that, and attempted murder come in play, and God puts us together, Rafi puts us together to fucking expose all these motherfuckers. And sure enough, that's what we're exactly what we're doing. We got them. I'm telling you, we got them. Right down the fucking, right down the line. I'm going to expose the codes that they use in their law. Now, the law is written in a specific act, like 21 something, blah, blah, blah. Each one of those numbers, miraculously, in my entire case, leads up to something that's going to give you life in prison, or it's going to give you 15, 20 years or more. However you cut this fucking code, in every there's six or seven different five-digit numbers, okay? They all add up to the fact that I'll never see the light of day. I'll never get anything. And even if I appeal, the code number is in there for the Superior Court judge
yeah.
to review it,
to deny it.
Right?
Yeah.
So they know the code, but nobody else knows the code but me and you now. And the internet, because it's on there now. On our website. You know what I mean? So this has been going on for a while. It's written in their law. You get it?
In the law.
It's been written in their law. They've been doing this for fucking years.
That's what I always thought between the lawyers. I'm like, what? They have a thing in their files for any lawyer that sees the salons that it must be denied, that it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
How does all these lawyers, and so many of them, just conflict of interest, or they don't get back to me, or this and that, or some of them seem like they're really interested, and then once they learn the names, they, you know, gotta walk away. Nope. And a lot of them, you know, they'll use the excuse that, I don't know how to contain myself civilly. Like, really? You guys are gonna use that as an excuse? Really?
Yeah.
Person that's been through what? And I don't have a right to have a loud voice?
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, I'm going to get a hold of Crystal today, no matter what. I really can't wait to get that as well. And continue with this timeline that we've been doing. This is fucking amazing. It's excellent. I can't wait to run it through AI right now. It's going to go berserk. And then we're going to build from that point. And I have that whole conversation with Darren. I'm going to pull it up. And we're going to start from Darren, who was the son or something of some sort of admiral.
Yeah.
Investigating on Bill Benn.
Yep.
Okay, so you remember from that point on, because we were very specific on times and dates in that conversation, so you can start from that point.
I have a lot of conversations with him recorded too, and my email communications and everything with him, text communications with Darren and shit and the stuff that he also discovered. What he sent to me is really huge too, but I mean, how do I confirm if what he sent me is true? He says that, you know, he's another's character, too. So he's been dealing with the law, too. He's been in and out of jail.
He's on the state side.
He's on the state side. He's in California.
And his father is a very high-up individual.
Yeah, but the only thing I don't like about his father, and now it's been deleted, and I know for a fact that if you looked in his past Twitter accounts, he was completely a Democrat who did not like Trump, okay? So Democrat, but Darren himself, I don't know, and he was very tight with his father, close with his father, right? But at the same time, it's a lot to the story, lots. And then he wasn't tight with his mother. His mother, he says, is basically like an Ivana, money hungry, all about, you know, plastic and, you know, materialistic type of shit, right? But he called her like a Barbie doll type of thing, like, you know, And she was also connected to the system, right? The police department and blah, blah, blah. But I do believe that Darren, actually, I don't know if he turned to becoming a Republic, but you know, that whole Republic, blah, Democrat, whatever, bullshit, right? But anyhow, he's been facing a lot of shit through the court system as well. And he said, you know, that he's they're petrified of him exposing. Well, he sent me something and I can send it to you. And he says, well, you know, here's something I just want you to know that, you know, what's going on. And he showed me that he had how he cracked, showing that he's got evidence. And this is why they're trying to silence him. He believes is that the system, exactly, I forget how the system, the government or whatever, had been stealing, I forget how much money, like huge amounts of money. The government of, was it California or Nevada? I think it was Nevada or Las Vegas, wherever. I'd have to look. I don't want to make you know.
It's another scam, just like Wiz is doing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, send me that for sure.
But anyways, blah, blah, blah.
And I have, but I think I got 160 or more, 80, whatever, of all your email conversations, short, sweet, and he would be in one of those no matter what, right?
Huh? Yeah, it should be. Well, I think one of the files may have even been called that in chronological order were all my emails because it was what I also sent to Darren. So Darren had a lot of my stuff too.
And what was his last name? Darren what?
LaFay.
LaFay, okay, yes. I remember now. All right, I'm going to get into that right now. Because, all right, continue with your job. This was fucking amazing conversation. Holy cow. Wow. You know what? I want to get back to that one second because this is fucking blowing my mind. You're telling me right now that they raided your house. You're not even there. This guy gets arrested. He's your ex-boyfriend. You don't even know about what happened in that house.
Nope.
You have no idea, but if they could legally, they would have seized that house. But all they did was seize shit, which in my eyes is evidence that would have found them fucking guilty. Whoever this was, now I got to find out what his actual position was. You're not your ex-boyfriend, but the guy that they were holding. He was holding evidence for. But if your ex-boyfriend was involved, he was obviously friends with some sort of officials or officers and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah, there's more to the story, I believe.